about it, prayed about it for a week or so. And then I felt like, yeah, I have something to say. I have an exhortation. I am not a preacher. I'm probably not even a teacher. I'm an exhorter. What's an exhorter, Leela? An exhorter is basically, thank you, someone who encourages people. Like usually I think in bullet points. I don't know. You're going to get a lot of information about me this morning. Just tuck it away. It's useless. But me, I think in bullet points. I tend to be a kind of a concise person when I talk and when I think and when I'm doing stuff at work. I'm pretty detailed, but I'm pretty concise. Eric is the opposite. He is a preacher's teacher. You know what I mean? He is, there's the bullet point, and he's like, let me talk about the before and the during and the after the bullet point. Yeah. And then by the end, you're like, oh, that was delicious, the steak. So I'm going to give you like a, what do they call those apetophores? Appetizer. An appetizer bite sermon is what today will be. But it'll be good because the word of God is the word of God, right? I'm the messenger. It's not my words. It's his. And from that standpoint, I'm just going to dive right in because it's all good. So, hit it, Phil. We're going to do a little bit of PowerPoint, a couple videos, and then I'm going to read scripture and also read from here as well. I also am a visual learner. So for folks like me, we're going to do a little bit of visual. And I'll tell you more later. So there is a superpower that we're all born with. Did you know that? Did you? Any guesses on what it is? Ideas? Okay, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the tongue. No, for real. A tongue is a superpower that we were born with. Why do you say that, Leela? A tongue is disgusting. Have you ever seen a tongue? Yes, I've seen a tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, Scripture says in Proverbs 18:21. So we have the power of life and death in this little thing in our mouth. I don't know if you knew that or not. So basically, we're all born with tongues, ideally. I suppose there may be some people who aren't. But in general, we were all born with a superpower that we have the choice to use for life or use for death. It's sort of like Superman meets Doc Ock. Or really, more like Superman meets Venom. Really? Yeah. Look at Venom. Ew. That's pretty appropriate, right? Superhero or villain? Let's marinate on that. Let's think about that. Let's watch a little video and think about that just for a minute. Hit it, Phil.
Thank you.
All right, rapid fire, right? I know, I saw that and went, oh, yes. So we're just going to quickly review, because that was really fast, the stuff he was going to, but it was really good. So we're going to just kind of take a moment to recap. So his first point, you like the cat, right? So awesome. If you're pretty and you still speak nasty, you're still nasty. So number one, be aware of the many pitfalls. And he rifled through a bunch. Slander, lying, gossip, boasting, complaining, cursing, being critical, discouraging words, telling dirty jokes, exaggeration, sarcasm, not following through on what we're said we're going to do, outbursts of anger. Yep, nope, none of these. I don't have a problem with any of these. Right. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Sarcasm. Highlight that one. Highlight it. Highlight it. Yeah. Those are all the way that our little thing inside of our mouth, our tongue, can get us in trouble. You know what I was going to do? I was totally going to get like a cow's tongue and like wag it up here, but they didn't have one. The store I went to. Right? Visual. Burn it in there. So the second point he made was be intentional and speak positivity. Scripture says, Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down, right? An encouraging word cheers a person up. So we can literally, you know, the power of the tongue, speaking power of life, we can literally change somebody's day with an encouraging word, right? So the three main points today that I'm going to make is, in regards to the tongue, the venom, the victim, and the victor. So we're talking about the venom right now when the tongue is used negatively. So he talked about having intentional speech, compliments, encouragement, constructive criticism that's helpful, words that add value to the person. I would put under that header like prayer, encouraging them, building them up. All those things are important. The third one, point that he made was to be cautious and think before you speak. James 3:5 says the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. We can start a world of hurt with a few careless words, right? So this acronym was brilliant, brilliant. We need to remember this. Is it true? Is what I'm saying true? Is it helpful to the person I'm talking to? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? That was a great point. Is it even necessary that I even say this? Just because we know it doesn't mean we need to say it, right? And K, is it kind? So that was a great acronym. Then the fourth point he made was to be gentle and check your tone. And that's true, because you can be right and you can be wrong. You know what I'm saying? You can have the right answer and you can be wrong by saying it the wrong way. So Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That's so good. So we talked about the venom when the tongue is used inappropriately. That's the superpower of death, like, you know, Superman and Venom. The unbridled tongue, the words of the enemy that we believe, not that we hear. Because the enemy will continually speak things to us. We will continually hear those, but it's when we believe that we've, you know, gone and been affected by his tongue, his deception. So now we're going to go ahead and touch base on, I'm done with the PowerPoint. Thank you so much, Phil. Talking about the victim. So people who have been careless with their tongues, we've all been victims of that. How many? Yes, everyone. Yep. I was bullied in school. I get it. Even still, those words, hello, I'm 48, right? Junior high was a long time ago. But even still, those words way back then still sometimes service. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm 48. But words, man, words have power. And it's a continual process to believe the truth about yourself and to believe what God says about you. So the victim, there's destructive results from the deadly tongue. But there's healing in Jesus' name. Which words? In Jesus' name, right? His name spoken out loud has power and life. We need to believe what he says of us. That's the truth. What he says of us, which isn't always what we feel, which isn't always what people speak over us, which isn't always what society says about us, and the theys of the word, well, they think this, and they think, who's they, anyway? I don't know, right? But we need to believe what he says about us. Amen? What does he say about us? Well, let's just listen to the words of Warren Daigle, one of my favorite songs recently. It's so good. I just had to work it in somehow. So enjoy this song, because this will change your life if you listen and you believe what the Lord says about you. What you say of me. Those are words we should believe, right? Yep. It's good. It's good. Look it up this week. Play it a lot. Play it every day because it is true. It is true. So the last point of today's message is the victor. So we have the venom of the tongue, the victim, and the victor. Our supreme example of the superpower of life is God. His spoken words created everything, and it was good. It was good. The word of God is the words of God. Repeat those life-giving phrases and promises. God puts words in our mouth to accomplish his will in our life and in the lives of others. So real quickly, I'm going to read some verses that have to do with the power of the tongue. And then I'm going to go into some verses that talk about the victor. So 1 Peter 3:10, whoever would love life and see good day must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Proverbs 10:19, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Proverbs 17:9, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Ooh, I'm going to read that again. Proverbs 17:9, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Like I said before, just because you know it doesn't mean you should talk about it. Is it helpful? Is it, you know, you go through all of those things. Is it kind? Matthew 15:11, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Proverbs 21:23, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Proverbs 31:26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Psalms 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Psalms 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Titus 3:1-2, why is she reading so many scriptures? I'm reading scriptures because that is the authority, right? I'm not the authority. Your so-and-so psychologist isn't the authority. Your mama isn't the authority. I love you, Mom. You're so awesome. She is my authority. But the point is that the Word of God is what we base our lives on. So I'm trying to show you it is in Scripture, and it is in Scripture a lot. Titus 3:1-2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. Oh, some people? To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. Proverbs 18:20-21, from the fruit of their mouth a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who live it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 17:27-28, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Don't say anything. Oh, they are so wise. They just nod. Wow. Proverbs 17:27-28, you get promotions at work for doing stuff like that. I'm just saying. Proverbs 17:27-28. Let's do Proverbs 12:6-7. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of righteousness stands firm. And it goes on, and I'm not going to read more. There is so many other references here. I'll rifle the reference in case those are note takers out there. Proverbs 12:13-14. Proverbs 12:18-19. Proverbs 15, 1 through 2, Psalm 119, 171 to 173, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, Proverbs 18, 1 through 8, James 1, 19 through 26, Psalms 52, 2 through 9, James 3, 1 through 12, and I'm going to read this one because it's really good. James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers. Amen. I'm talking to myself. Because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Do you sense the sarcasm in that sentence? He's being sarcastic there. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. Well, why is she talking about it then if it's impossible? This is apart from from God's help, right? Because we can't do anything by our own power. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? Right? And the last one, Proverbs 26, 17 through 28. So we painted the picture of the venom of the tongue, the superpower of not good, right? Evil choices. The victim, what happens to people when they receive that kind of treatment. And the victor. So what does the Lord say about me? What's come from his mouth? How can I do this on my own? You know, where does he stand in all of this? So Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10, it's the call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, you know this one, right? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them. For I am the Lord and I'm with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down. And it goes on. Isaiah 51, 16, and I have put my words in your mouth. I think there's a theme here. And covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth and saying to Zion, you are my people. Exodus 4, 11 through 12, the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? It is not I, said the Lord. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Exodus 4, 15 through 16. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth. Hallelujah. And with his mouth, and I will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. Isaiah 49, 2. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. Isaiah 54, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught. Well, it's raining. That's perfect. Well, I'm going to keep talking. They've had some problems with their remodels upstairs. Yep, get a garbage can. There we go. Moving on. Isaiah 54, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught that I may know how to sustain a word. Him who is weary, morning by morning he awakens. Luke 21:15, this is awesome. for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Oh, yes, Lord, mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Just a few more verses here. Luke 12:12, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Jeremiah 5:14, and that's the one we read. He is making the words in your mouth a fire. Matthew 10:19, when they deliver you over, don't be anxious about what you're going to speak, for what you ought to say, I will give you in that hour. So the victor, the Lord gave us the tongue, right? The Lord puts the words in our mouth. He's just going to shove them right in, and I'm going to go into a trance and say what he wants me to say. No, he's not going to do that. But he is faithful. He is faithful to help us control our tongue, right? 100% perfect. No, not 100% perfect. But we can definitely be used by him. It says he makes our words a sword. My mouth is like a sharp sword. So as we recap, the tongue is an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing, both in the negative and in the positive. And I pray that the Lord will use our tongue, use my mouth, my words, to further his will on earth, right? So the statistics are staggering at how many teenagers in particular commit suicide because they're bullied at school. We read that statistic all the time, and it's tragic. So literally the power of your words, the power of words to the negative, we see that destruction everywhere. And so we need to take seriously our mission, if you will, to speak life when we have the chance, to speak truth when we have the chance. Because we can literally change somebody's life, like spiritually, mentally, but literally we can help save their life by the power of positive words and speaking what God feels and thinks about them and portraying his love to them and speaking to them. So I encourage us today to be mindful of this thing in our mouth and to consciously think about that acronym again, the THINK acronym. So is it truthful was the first one. And is it helpful is H. Is it inspiring is I. Is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Oh, man, boy, I got so much work to do. I'm a little overwhelmed by how imperfect I am, and the Lord is righteous and I am not. Well, your closing scripture for today, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's all I have.